What we're going to talk about today, first of all, we have three presenters in the morning, and then we have three presenters in the second session after a half-hour break. And we have Vic Seidel, one of the founders of this session, sitting in the back with his wife, and he's going to have his co-author in a number of books, Barry Levy, leading off in the afternoon session, the second session. We're going to talk about Agent Orange, past and present, with its dioxin contaminant, which is harmful to people. We're going to talk about the Vietnam Caucus, and that's anyone with an interest. It doesn't cost anything, just put your name down and we'll send you emails. And what we want to know is what you think we should be doing now and in the future. Mainly we focus on the annual meeting of APHA. We could be a little broader, but up to you what you want to recommend and what kind of work you want to do, if any. And today we'll briefly talk about, I'm going to briefly talk about Agent Orange and then go into something newer. And I don't think any of us has any relations to that we need to be concerned about. Okay, just to remind you what you're going to be seeing in the future, the Vietnam War, many were killed or wounded more in Vietnam than other countries. Many Vietnamese were exposed to the defoliant. Many in Vietnam were exposed to the defoliant Agent Orange with its very toxic dioxin contamination. And in the United States, any American veterans with who served in Vietnam had boots on the ground are classified by the Vietnam government as being, quote, victims of Agent Orange, unquote, and they received some small compensation, the Vietnamese, from the Vietnam government. And the U.S. is more generous, has more money. And right now, what's going on between the United States and Vietnam is a cleanup of the soil in areas where dioxin from Agent Orange heavily contaminated the soil, mainly because of dripping from the Agent Orange, which was stored on three or four air bases, which are being cleaned up in one way now by heat primarily. And this is very expensive, but it's the method that was preferred. USAID and one agency of the Vietnam government works together on this. It's very expensive, it's very slow, and no one knows where the money will come from to continue this at other places. Most of the work that the US government and the Vietnam government are doing related to Agent Orange are focusing on the environmental. Very little is being focused on the people and their health. One of the things that I want to talk about now is work and environmental contamination, and specifically electronic waste recycling. And we're going to look, we have been looking at women in northern Vietnam who are electronic waste recyclers with not adequate prevention of getting these chemicals in their body from the electronic waste. And we're also looking at the comparison group, which to our surprise had elevated levels of arsenic and lead, the comparison. So the arsenic situation reminds us of Bangladesh. They're getting in the water, rice, and so on. But then there are also some other man-made chemicals, brominated flame retardants, these PBDEs, DDT, and others. So what we've been doing lately with some Vietnamese colleagues, Jen Kincaid and Linda Birnbaum, the director of the NIEHS, is to analyze urine and blood. And this is the people. These are the people we decided to look at this time. After working in Vietnam, I started in 1984 and have been working on But we noticed that women and their children were being exposed frequently in these home-based recycling facilities. A baby on the right, a mother holding him or her, and another child recycling and being exposed to chemicals. This is the reality. It's a way of earning a living. It's good to have an income, but on the other hand, it's not good to expose yourself to toxic chemicals. Why are we concerned about e-waste? Well, for example, the estimated generation from personal computers has been going up markedly in Vietnam and is continuing. It's cheaper to recycle there. Okay, what we've been doing is look a couple of meetings ago at 10 women recyclers from the north of Vietnam and 10 comparison. It looked like we were seeing dioxin-like chemicals and some organics and some metals. Today we're going to focus mainly on what we've done in the last year or two, and hopefully we'll get this published before the next meeting. Jen and others are working on this now to get it published. And then the third part will actually be to look at the individual brominated and chlorinated dioxins and related chemicals. Okay, so what did we do? We looked at women, healthy, 40 electronic waste recyclers who have been doing this job for over 5 years, 20 nearby comparisons with no recycling exposure, all lived in the north of Vietnam, and we compared with the United States general population, the NHANES population. Vietnam, for the few of you who don't know, is a long country. The upper part was the country of North Vietnam for a while. It's one country now. The Asian Orange Spring was only in the southern part of Vietnam, but some people went from the north to the south. Okay, what did we do? We looked at these brominated diphenyl ether flame retardants, PCBs, brominated diphenyls, and pesticides. We measured a whole bunch of PCBs, and we measured a bunch of flame retardants. Not all of them, but some of them that are commonly used, commonly found in electronics. And what was unique about what we did was that we looked at metals and organics, blood and urine. So, for those of you interested in pesticides, which obviously can affect health, we looked at this group, TDT, hexachlorobenzene, lindane, Myrix, and we looked at a whole bunch of metals. And the nice thing about this is we were able to get the Centers for Disease Control, CDC, the lab that actually analyzed human tissue, for the NHANES general population in the United States. The same lab analyzed these chemicals in the Vietnamese women recyclers. We didn't look at the children yet. We didn't do health studies yet. We wanted to know who was exposed and at what levels, and how did the recyclers compare with the non-recyclers in Vietnam, and how did either group compare with the United States general population of women of roughly the same age. Okay, this is probably a little too detailed for this meeting, but these were a bunch of the PBDE, polybrominated diphenyl ether flame retardants. Some of them were definitely higher in the recyclers than the comparison, but in some cases, the NHANES, we in the United States, had higher levels because we use more chemicals in general. On the other hand, some of these, comparing the comparison group with the recyclers, the comparison on the left column, the recyclers on the next to left column, there was a difference, and you can see the p-values. These p-values are comparing Vietnamese to Vietnamese. Not always higher in the recyclers, to my surprise. In some cases, it was the comparisons were higher. We looked at a few PCBs, but there wasn't much difference in the recyclers versus the general population that we looked at. We didn't do an NHANES, we didn't have that kind of money. But this might be a pilot NHANES for Vietnam and a little occupational cadmium, lead, methyl mercury. And what you may notice is methyl mercury, that first column down in the third one, is 4.16 in the comparisons. The recycler is 2.8. Both are higher than the United States and Haynes. So mercury is higher in both groups of Vietnamese, and the comparisons were higher than the recyclers. We think maybe this is from eating fish contaminated with methyl mercury, and in the future we'll know more about it. The total arsenic was quite high, but not a huge difference between, again, the recyclers and the recyclers and comparisons, but the comparisons were a little higher for total. But for specific ones, there is a difference. But this is more detailed than I want to go into in this slide. Okay, this is more what we are interested in, APHA, the bigger picture. Okay, some of the PBDEs, these polybrominated diphenyl ethers, certain ones were much higher, statistically significantly higher in the electronic waste recyclers. So there is an occupational problem for these women. They're earning a little more money, but they're getting exposed to toxic chemicals. And I don't think we thought about this in Vietnam. We thought about TCD, dioxin, and Agent Orange, until very recently. PCBs were not significantly different between the electronic waste workers because they weren't working with electrical transformers, which may have been filled with PCBs. They were working with smaller computers, television, electronics. So there wasn't much of a difference in this group. DDE was significantly higher among comparisons. I'm not totally sure why that was, but of course DDT was used for malaria control, because you didn't want people dying of falciparum, malaria, encephalitis. So until recently, DDT was among the chemicals used for malaria control. And it may still be to a certain extent. Okay, the metals. What were some of the big findings? The electronic waste recyclers versus comparisons. Vietnamese workers, not workers. Lead was statistically significantly higher among the e-waste recyclers in blood and urine. Lead was higher. Urine mercury was higher in recyclers. Lead, by the way, was also elevated in the recyclers. Okay, and some of these organics, the brominated flame retardants, in some cases the Vietnamese had more of certain of the congeners, the chemical mix, and in other cases, we in the United States have higher levels from the NHANES general population. I think that's the main point here. Okay, metals, Vietnamese women versus NHANES women of similar age. Arsenic, lead, methyl mercury, and total mercury in whole blood, markedly higher in these Vietnamese women. So it's not only dioxin we need to be thinking about, more concerned about health. It's also arsenic. And arsenic's not only in Bangladesh. It's in the water and rice in Vietnam as well. It's naturally occurring. Cadmium was higher in Vietnamese compared to NHANES, and was also elevated in workers. Okay, this goes into more detail than we need. We've made the point about arsenic. Okay, the persistent, long-lasting metabolite DDE from DDT was higher among the comparisons, possibly and probably related to malaria prevention in the past, because the DDT, which doesn't stay around very long in people's bodies, was not so different, but the DDE from previous exposures was elevated. And the point of this, to me, seems to be that bad health effects, adverse health effects, can result from either environmental or occupational exposure to the toxic chemicals we measure. And we looked at a whole bunch of them. CDC ran this through some of her standard NHANES chemistry. But they didn't look at everything, obviously. It's more than I think anyone has looked at previously for Vietnam. So Vietnam doesn't have an end aims yet measuring the general population, but maybe this is a start which will help Vietnamese people living in Vietnam, and maybe some who did live in Vietnam and who moved to this country or other countries. Okay, some of the brominated flame retardant congeners usually found in furniture, but also electronics. It gets in the dust, and it could account for the higher levels of e-waste recycling. Now, we didn't look at something that was very recently reported from Vietnam, organophosphorus flame retardants. These are now in the United States, in Europe, and in Vietnam, coming into more and more use. And we didn't test for those. So considering health of Vietnamese people in Vietnam or who've migrated from Vietnam, we should or others should look at those as well. And again, we think this study is very powerful in that an excellent lab did the analysis. We have a reasonable sample of 40 and 21 and 40 women recycling workers from the north of Vietnam, where in general there are less chemicals in people's body or less chemicals used than in the south of Vietnam. And but this does not represent all of Vietnam. It's not like N. Haynes, which represents, is meant to represent the general U.S. population. Okay, what do we do about it? What does the Vietnam government and Vietnam people do about this? I broke this down into environmental remediation to reduce the amount getting into people, or occupational remediation, make the job safer. So for environmental remediation, you've got a problem with arsenic in the drinking water in most of the people we looked at, and now there are reports in the water also in Vietnam of arsenic. Lead was elevated in both groups, higher in the workers, so occupational remediation and more precautions is definitely indicated, both occupational and environmental. Mercury, environmental remediation, and cadmium, occupational. Okay, summary. Levels in recyclers were sometimes higher in comparisons for these toxic chemicals that we expected, many of which we expected to find from electronics in the workers and the children. And you saw the little girl. Speak louder and into the microphone. Okay, thank you. On occasion, the comparisons, not the workers, had higher levels than recyclers. The Vietnamese levels were sometimes higher than in Haynes and sometimes lower. Okay, I'm not sure we wrote that right. And it's complicated. So it's not simple. Again, e-waste recycling can be associated with increase in brominated flame retardants in lead. Living in the area sampled is associated with elevated arsenic, mercury, DDE, as compared to, not related to, compared to the two N. Haynes. And some of the congeners were higher than in the Vietnamese than in N. Haynes and some lower. So there's a lot of things we can look at other than dioxins from Agent Orange if we're interested in the health of people there. So improved occupational protocols should reduce some chemical exposures of recycling workers, environmental measures to reduce arsenic in drinking water and rice are definitely indicated. Deep wells have been more successful in Bangladesh at reducing arsenic in drinking water. I don't know what depth that would be, and I don't know what it would need to be in Vietnam, or what the cost would be, or whether filters could do the job. Mercury intake, we think, is partly from fish consumption, and further research is indicated at other recycling facilities. Everything we, all the sampling we did, was within a couple of hours' drive from the capital of Vietnam, Hanoi, the current capital, not the former Saigon, which was the capital of the southern Vietnam, or southern Vietnam. Okay, so we need to look at children, we need to look at health effects, and we need to look at practical economic approaches. heating the soil at the hot spots is eating up a huge amount of the U.S. money, and I don't know where future money for anything, health or cleanup, is going to come from. We want to thank the women who volunteered for the study, the health team in Vietnam, and also Andreas Houdin, the organics lab director at CDC, and Kathleen Caldwell, the metals lab director at CDC. This is our personal view. It doesn't reflect any institution. And just to give you another feel to what some women and men, and this is obviously a husband who's watching his wife get exposed to toxic chemicals. Men are the same everywhere. That didn't get a... This unfortunate slide was meant to show that burning, which can produce chlorinated and brominated dioxins, is going on. So this woman is now trying to reclaim the metals. She's going to take this burning cabling material, electrical wire material, and take it to the nearby river and wash out the debris, collect the metal, and sell the metal. And no protection at all. So, whereas many countries have a problem, this one is very obvious. Thank you very much for your attention, comments, questions, thoughts. Questions, comments, things I said that didn't make any sense to you? What should be done next with limited funds like we all have? Yeah, what should be done next? Well, okay. So, So I'm going to just introduce the next couple of presentations and people. Susan Hammond, who is one of the most knowledgeable women with the non-governmental persons, not just women, men or women, of what goes on in Vietnam with respect to the war and poverty and poor nutrition from the war, chemicals from the war, illness from the war, could not make it. She has to be in Vietnam, Laos, and Cambodia now. So her presentation is going to be given by Genevieve Jen Kincaid, who's to my right, and she's now in Louisville. And oddly enough, as a student in California, she's a physician and going for one of her many degrees, this time in public health, and somewhat new to Vietnam. Ironically, she works at the moment doing research at a Veterans Administration hospital in Louisville. And then we're going to have Andy, our cleanup hitter from the law section, a lawyer who is about to leave his current domicile. Vicky thinks moving is going to be so much fun, packing and unpacking, that he's going to be moving very shortly, and he can tell you where he is now, where he's going, and what he's going to be doing. But because war, where it's okay to kill someone, to murder them, it's legal, you're being patriotic, amazingly, is frequently based, at least ostensibly, on legal grounds. We say things in law, you know, it's okay now, you have a gun, you can kill people who are the enemy for this temporary period of time. You can deprive them of food. You can do all kinds of bad things if you're being a patriotic American or Vietnamese or whatever. So we're going to do that. And then the next session, we're going to lead off with Vic Seidel's junior partner. Is he your junior partner, Vic? Barry Levy, and they're well known for their books on war, all sorts of consequences of war. And Barry's going to focus on civilians who are affected, civilians who are affected by wars, not just the Vietnam War, but wars in general. And then we're going to go to Mystica from the Institute of Medicine, who's going to tell us what they're doing about these every 2-year reviews of the literature regarding health effects of herbicides and dioxins and the chemicals contained in them. They may not continue after the next volume. It's a wonderful, the Institute of Medicine, National Academy of Sciences, funded by the Veterans Administration, which Congress has directed to summarize the literature having to do with the health consequences of the chemicals which were used during what we in America call the Vietnam War, and is currently called the American War, or the Second Indochina War by the Vietnamese. And then the last one, we're going to go to another, and of course Barry is a former president, as is Vic Seidel of the American Public Health Association. And then for the last speaker in the second session, which will start half an hour after we finish this session, same room, Myron Aloukian, another past president of APHA, who served in Vietnam as a Marine, as a dentist, and then became a peace advocate afterwards, and was also a very dynamic speaker. I forgot to mention one thing. The Institute of Medicine, National Academy of Science speaker, is going to also describe the kind of research they're honchoing with respect to health consequences of the Vietnam War. They have a huge repository of blood, urine, even semen, which they're trying to get people with research funds to do research with, and they will then authorize release of these biological specimens to them. I have 1 minute. Okay, you have no comments, questions, criticism? Oh, that's very unusual. You haven't fallen asleep? You ate too much for lunch? Okay, well, Jen can introduce herself for 30 seconds or whatever she wants to. And Genevieve is going to be presenting Susan Hammond's thorough look at Vietnam, the war, the consequences, Agent Orange, what's known, what's not known, what's being done now. Jen, thank you.